Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why do we come to the throne of grace? Because the throne of grace becomes a source for us. And it's the place where we obtain the mercy of God. Everybody needs the mercy of God. The most common manifestation of that is in His patience. And we find grace in time of our need. These are our resources. One of the biggest mistakes that Christians make, perhaps the single biggest mistakes that Christians will make, is that they do not utilize the right resources. A situation happens and they utilize natural resources. Perhaps they'll try to handle the situation, they'll observe the situation. How many times does it happen on the job? Let's say a person is some kind of an executive of some kind of company, and a situation arises, and then they try to figure out what's going on, how to best handle it, look at the numbers, what have you. And this seems perfectly reasonable to most people. It's not actually reasonable. It's strange, but it's strangely reasonable, I guess. Because natural thinking does not provide a resource. You may say to yourself, well, I have an education. I understand how this works. Let's say a doctor. I have an education in medicine. I learned my lessons well. I learned how to apply what I learned. So what do you mean that which is natural is not a resource? The greatest, arguably, brain surgeon of our times was Dr. Benjamin Carson. And he said he would always pray before he did surgery, because he didn't want to rely just on his education. He didn't want to rely just on his own abilities, albeit he had great skill and great knowledge as a surgeon. But he didn't want to rely on those. He knew that he needed something more, that he needed God's help, God's thoughts, God's reference, God's leading to take him through the surgery. I remember this one story about him. He went to South Africa to assist in separating Siamese twins who were connected at the brain. And everybody said that one of those twins would not live. Very few doctors were willing to try it. He went over there to assist with that surgery, and they both survived. Why? Well, clearly it was God's will for them to survive, but I believe at least his willingness to turn to God, to get God's resources for that need, were why those girls survived. We need the right resources. We need the right resources. People have problems because they try to utilize the wrong resources. They try to utilize human resources, natural resources. But in Ephesians 2:8, we're delivered by grace. I know the King James and the New King James say saved. The word in the original language is sozo, and it means all forms of deliverance, including salvation of the soul, but not exclusively the salvation of the soul. All forms of deliverance is what it's talking about. We are delivered by grace through faith. This is our resource. Grace through faith. I enter into grace in Romans 5:2 by faith. This is my resource. Why? Because when I come to the throne of grace, and I do come there by faith, I obtain mercy, and I find grace to help me in the time of whatever need that it is that I have. But I must come to the throne of grace to find it. Now, it's not like coming to a place and there's a bag of mercy and another bag of grace and I go grab the bags. It is a throne of grace. That means when I come there, God starts to command. And He commands blessings, He commands promises, He commands an angelic army, He commands. God starts to command mercy toward that person. God starts to command all the manifestations of grace toward that person, whether it's to command forgiveness, to command hope, whatever it is that that person's need is, God will command that. It is a throne of grace that I come to, and this is my resource. I come to the throne of grace. Whatever it is that I need, I come to the throne of grace. When Moses had that rebellion against him with Korah and the princes of Israel, Moses fell on his face and sought God for the answer. He went to the throne of grace. And God gave him the answer, but not only the answer, God gave him the deliverance from the circumstance because he went to the throne of grace. This is the right resource. Yet people will not go to the throne of grace. You interact with somebody and it's a negative interaction. What do? Do you get angry? Do you get impatient? Do you get frustrated? Do you get insecure? Do you get hurt? What do? A lot of people will do those things because they do not come to the throne of grace. By faith, they enter into the throne room in prayer, saying to God, God, I need your help in this time of need. And what does God do? He commands help in the time of need. He commands the wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, James said, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. You see, that is a divine resource. That is God's resource. And it's found at the throne of grace, and it's there for my asking, but I must ask. If I don't bother coming to the throne of grace, then I will not receive those resources. If I think that I can do it apart from God on my own, God will allow that. But it's not going to go well, guaranteed. Why? Because what is going to go well apart from God? What is going to go well apart from mercy? What is going to go well apart from grace? What is going to go well apart from His throne in our lives? What will go well? So in all things, all details, whether they're large details or small details, we utilize the right resources. We go to the throne of grace to get our resources. But people don't do that. I guess it's a part of the mystery of iniquity that all these amazing resources are offered to us by God, put out there for our use, made available to us, and we don't utilize them. Instead, we utilize natural resources which take us nowhere. In Hebrews 12:15, the Word of God says, looking diligently, lest anyone fail, that is to say, fall short of the grace of God. You could paraphrase that and say, lest anyone not come to the throne of grace to receive God's resources for whatever it is that they are facing. And then it continues, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Failing grace is simply not utilizing grace as your resource. And it results in wrong thinking and negativity and bad emotions, but more. When I utilize the wrong resources, there's really only two kingdoms that offer any resources whatsoever. I in myself am not a resource. So I may think I'm using human resources, natural resources, but in fact I'm going to the tree of knowledge of good and evil for those resources, and Ezekiel 31:18 tells us that that tree is Satan's tree. So I'll either go to God or I'll go to Satan, and frankly, many believers, perhaps you could even say most believers, go to Satan. They turn to Satan for his resources, for their lives, to deal with things as they are Christians. How do you make that equation? It doesn't work, and it doesn't work for them. So they end up with things like frustration and negativity, insecurity, depression, anger, anxiety, whatever you want to think of. They end up with all these negative results because they went as Christians to the enemy for resources. They went perhaps to natural thinking, or they went to anger. They tried to handle things through anger. They try to manhandle people. They're very heavy-handed. And they try to manipulate or control. You have no control. Control is an illusion. No human being has control. I can't even control what you think. How am I going to control it? I can't control half the time what I think. Unless I'm submitted to the Word of God in my thinking. So how in the world are you going to handle anything? You can't handle yourself. How will you handle anything? Nobody can. Nobody can. That's why when I utilize the wrong resources, I do not get the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Instead, I get the evidence of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21. And these are not good fruits. If I go to the throne of grace, I receive all of God's grace, all of God's mercy, all that God has to give me, and there's a ton. Or I can go to what I see as my own thought, which is really not my thought, but the enemy's thought being fed me through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because at this point I'm thinking in natural thinking, walking by sight, and trying to evaluate with the natural mind. And that's the throne of iniquity. Satan's throne. Satan's not your friend. Why do you fellowship with him? Psalm 94:20. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." I went to the resource that works. And it made me into what I am. Now, Paul also felt that he was the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church. So he's saying, I was a man who was an enemy of God, but by the grace of God, I am the apostle. He thought he was the least of the apostles because of that, but in reality, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. No apostle has had such direct and profound impact as Paul had, because Paul went directly to the right resource. Paul knew that in him there was no good thing. He saw that firsthand. And then he knew the loving kindness of the Savior. Because he saw that firsthand. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. When I go to the right resource is always effective. The right resources we go to are grace, to the love of God, to the Word of God, categorical doctrine, the promises of God, to the heart of God, to the mercy of God, to the forgiveness of God. The blood of Christ is an amazing resource. That which God does for us, that which He has given to us in the finished work, that which is His expression of His oneness with us in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, and in 2 Corinthians 5:18, because we have been reconciled to Him, He doesn't spare anything. No matter what it is that our need is, He doesn't spare anything. He withholds nothing. He gives all of it. Matthew 6:33, we seek first the kingdom of God. Yes, that includes in my seeking for resources. And what is the outcome? All things are added unto me. I have unlimited resources from an unlimited God with unlimited love toward me, with unlimited power and ability, wisdom toward me. And so my resources are in no way restricted when I come to the throne of grace. This is why the grace of God toward Paul was not in vain. This is why he became the great apostle. It was grace, the great resource. Yet in Romans 2:8, Paul writes, "To those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness." Now, that is to say, those people who are self-oriented and they do not live in faith obedience through a relationship with Christ, they receive indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, and every soul of man who does evil will receive this. Because I'm either going to go to the throne of grace or I'm going to go to the throne of iniquity. And God is at war with the king of that throne. So if I'm at the throne of iniquity through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, fellowshipping perhaps unwittingly but nevertheless with the enemy, well, God is at war with that enemy. How do you think it's going to go? And we utilize human resources, thinking that they come from within ourselves, when in fact they are projected to us, but we think they are from within ourselves, just the way that we often think temptation is from within ourselves, when Matthew chapter 4 tells us in verse 1 that Satan is the tempter. Well, he tempts us into these resources as well that are his resources. That's what happened to Eve in the garden. One of the first things he had to do is get her away from her correct resource to turn to an incorrect resource before he could cause the fall of all of humanity. What are the human resources? That which is natural. Impatience, anger. Those are human resources that people utilize when they feel powerless in their circumstance or in their relationship. And they attempt to control things such that the flesh will be satisfied, but it doesn't work. They get into relationships and they critique the people in that relationship because they're trying to bring them into subjection to their own old sin nature, because their old sin nature and their wrong thinking has damaged their emotions, and they're trying to find the challenge to their emotions, a way to appease that. And so the person, it's not actually got anything to do with the person, but the person is pointed at and blamed for the problem. And then the impatience and anger, the critiques come because they're trying to manipulate, to control, so that their emotions can be appeased in their sin nature. And it prevents unity and it prevents fellowship. And they don't know why they can't find any connection, because they're utilizing the wrong resources. How do I make a connection within a relationship? John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you. You also love one another. And so I love the way he loves me. That necessarily means that I have to turn to the love of God first in 1 John 4:19, and therein is my resource for all relationships. I turn to the love of God. I let Him love me. I let Him build me up. I let Him edify me. I let God's thoughts permeate me so that I can have a resource. People feel like failures, or they feel like they have no value because they have no divine resources. And their human resources have failed them. Well, of course they failed them. They're incapable of doing anything other than that. Of course they failed them. But that person, because they do not have divine resources, they keep looking for resources apart from God, apart from the love of God. And it's just one bit of frustration after another. And so they eventually blame the people who they look to be their resource. But of course, that person's not capable of that because they are not God. Only God is capable of that. God makes sure it doesn't work. In Malachi 2:2, if you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you have not taken it to heart. The person who turns to the wrong resources has their blessings cursed because he's turned away from God as his provision. So that person receives something from God. Perhaps they are called into a church and that church preaches the word of God and the people in that church are very loving and kind and there's wonderful fellowship. But they turn to themselves. They do not turn to the resources of God to be their supply. And they get negative toward the pastor or toward the people in the church because they're operating from the wrong resources. And if there is pride involved, then there will frequently be rebellion as well. And they'll start to attack people in the church or attack the pastor or the ministry or what have you, because they went to the wrong resources. God cursed their blessing. People get into a relationship, maybe they get married, and they don't utilize the right resources. They look to the other person perhaps to satisfy them or to circumstances to satisfy them. How many people get divorced because of financial problems? They look at the other person looks at them. Neither one of them is utilizing the right resources. And God takes what was intended to be a blessing, what He did bless them with, and often they say at first it was great and then it went south. Why? Because God cursed their blessing when they went to the wrong resource. You cannot go to the enemy and expect for God to continue to bless you. And that's not your spouse. That is the devil, as you have turned your back on God's resource, the only place to turn to from there. Remember, if you turn away from God, you're turning toward the enemy. Well, that's the only other resource. So they went with natural resources, thinking they're perfectly reasonable because they're doing things the way that the world does them, the world that is controlled by the enemy. And then they blame. And God takes the blessing and He turns it into a curse for them. Why? Because they wouldn't go to the throne of grace. And so they did not find mercy. And they did not find grace to help them in their time of need. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That relationship with God is when I receive the Word of God, it builds faith in me, and then I apply what I received by faith. And this is how the just live. The opposite of that in Habakkuk 2:4 is the soul that is lifted up in him, which is not right with God, which is puffed up, a proud soul. A person magnifies their self-image, magnifies their emotions, magnifies their opinions, magnifies, well, I made these choices. Well, you know what? You're not right with God. And therein is the problem. It doesn't work when you're not right with God. But on the other hand, the righteousness of God is revealed when the Word of God produces faith in you. That's your relationship with God. And the revealing of that, the manifestation of that relationship, is when you start to apply it in the practical details of your life. And now you have a life that is just because you have a life that is built in a relationship with the one who loves you. But then you don't continue for whatever reason, or you never go there. And so God has to change that. God will allow, sometimes even send difficulties, so that we will turn to His resources as our resource. In Romans 5, 3 to 5. Tribulation. Difficult times come. They can be difficult times financially or in relationships or health or what have you. Difficult times come. But they produce patience. Patience is the first manifestation of the love of God. It's in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Now, I understand in 1 Corinthians 13:4, there it's the word macrothumia, and here it's hupomone. But patience toward a circumstance, hupomone, is the same quality as patience toward a person, macrothumia. Just the target is different. But the heart of it, being from God, is the same. And then, after they've had patience, they have experience, and this is extremely valuable. Because experience in and of itself becomes a resource when it's experienced with the faithfulness of God, which they will see through their patience. And then, after they have seen the faithfulness of God, they come into the next level of resource, which is a confident expectation from God, because He loves them. And they know they're loved by God. You get somebody with a bad self-image, they need to know they're loved by God. And sometimes you get these people who are very insecure, very bad self-image, what have you, and things just go poorly for them. They go south for them. Things that attack their self-image, attack their insecurity, and they're like, what's going on here? What's going on is God is trying to get you to turn to His resources for you. In 1 Peter 4:12, don't be surprised when He sends a fiery trial. He's trying to build your faith, build your resources. He's trying to get you to start turning to yourself and start turning to His resources. It's incredibly important if you're going to have a life with God, if you're going to be properly trained to reign with Christ in eternity, it's a very important process to learn the right resources. How do you know the love of God if you've never needed the love of God? And so He brings you circumstances that force you to turn to the love of God, because it's the most important thing that there is, and it needs to be your resource. But in Isaiah 28:15, when people don't do that, they don't run to the love of God to protect them. They don't trust God for their provisions. Something happens. And I've seen this happen firsthand in churches that I know of. I've seen pastors that I know who've had this happen to them. You have said, we will make a covenant with death. And with Sheol, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Something happens, and perhaps they're scared. They're afraid in the warfare. I've seen some pastors who run in the warfare, literally run away, move to different states, when warfare is part of the program. And I don't mean guns and bombs warfare, I mean angelic conflict is part of the program. It's part of our lives. We're born onto a battlefield where Satan and his angels war against God and his angels in Revelation chapter 12. And so they're surprised when something happens, when perhaps somebody slanders or maligns. They're surprised. They would be surprised today at Christ when they say, well, he said, if you destroy this temple, I'll rebuild it again in 3 days. Some of these people would run, just like so many of his disciples ran. And they get afraid. Be careful. God fights your battles. When the angelic warfare comes, the conflict comes, the attacks come, the false accusations, the maligning, the slander, the innuendo, the misrepresentation, what happens to so many good preachers and people who are spirit-filled, even if they're not preachers, because they're a testimony to Christ, do you think Satan's going to ignore that in his backyard? When that happens, don't become afraid. God fights the battle. Fear is a very poor resource. God is your resource in this situation. He fights your battle. He says, stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. He is your provision for this. You don't have to be afraid. Here's the thing about being afraid in the warfare. Pastors have become afraid. They'll start to cooperate with the enemy because they think that will keep the heat off of them somehow. And once they start to cooperate with the enemy, they will have to participate with the enemy, all because they wanted to make nice with the enemy. They don't want to stand against it. They don't want to take the risk because they're afraid. And so they start to cooperate with them. They'll listen. They'll agree. They'll tolerate things that Romans 16:17 says you never tolerate. But they're afraid because they're utilizing the wrong resource, their fear to guide them. And when they are afraid, they tolerate, they participate. And if you participate, then eventually you have to become part of it. You cannot quit. And indeed, they don't. Because they have turned to the wrong resource. And their resource was fear. Fear is devastating, but it's also totally useless. It's utterly needless. You have the love of God. Did you think that God would not take care of you? You have the love of God. And on the other side of that, the recipients will then become very defensive and they will perhaps fight back. And again, wrong resource. Now it's defensiveness that is the resource. Trying to manipulate what people say or how they think about them, that is the wrong resource. The love of God is the best resource in a circumstance like that. I know of situations where people were afraid and so they lied. And when they lied to protect themselves, the nature of the lie made it such that they had to invest themselves within the lie. Because otherwise, being found out would be quite devastating. And so they invested themselves in the lie. And it grew and it grew and it never stopped growing. Because they utilized the wrong resource. They've made lies their refuge. People who participate with the enemy, they often do so because they make lies their refuge. And under falsehood, they hide themselves. Wrong resource. The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 7:8, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. So if I utilize God's resources, even if it's in the angelic conflict, the atmospheric war going on around us, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. In the bosom of those who do not know how to utilize the Word of God. Anger and impatience are used to control. But they're also used to elevate self. They can be used to protect oneself. And these are wrong resources. These are people who don't know how to use right resources, and so they are fools. Where if they used the right resource, even in a situation that is ugly or perhaps scary to them, the end of the thing is better than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Don't hasten to anger. For anger shows that you have no ability to skillfully use the Word of God. In Luke 6:26, Jesus deals with this very clearly and very concisely. He said, "Woe to you when men speak well of you." Sometimes you get these people who are shocked when somebody says something negative about a pastor or a spirit-filled Christian. Some Christian who loves God, is faithful, does a beautiful job at work. They manifest Christ, they glorify God, they have a beautiful spirit about them. And somebody says something bad about them and people are shocked and, oh, now it's scandalous and, oh, be careful about this one. Woe to you when men speak well of you. So many people want to be well thought of, well spoken of. Woe to you when men speak well of you. The Savior, Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune God says this. Woe to you when men speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. What a resource. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because in Romans 8:29 you will have been conformed to the image of the Savior. You'll manifest your oneness with God. What amazing resources. Loving your enemy is one of the greatest defenses and offenses at the same time there is in the angelic conflict. You are utterly protected when you love, because the only way to love is to enter into the cross in Galatians 2:20, whereby you love and you live by love and you live the life of the one who is love. You can only do that through the cross. At the cross, you are absolutely and completely protected on every side. Now remember, love is not an emotion. How can I love somebody I don't even like them? Love is not an emotion, and love is not like. Love has nothing to do with emotions. Love is a decision. Patience and kindness is a decision. Not thinking evil is a decision. Not seeking your own way. This is a decision. Has nothing to do with emotions. If you try to put emotions into it, they'll get in your way. Love your enemies. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And what's the result of that? In Jeremiah 31:3, he draws them to himself with loving kindness. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is also merciful. What a tremendous resource. It protects your mind. It protects your heart. It protects your choices. It protects your thoughts. Protects absolutely everything. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And this last one I think is enormous because it goes down to the root of the matter. You've been hurt. And so forgiveness is necessary to protect you. We don't forgive for the sake of the one who offended us. We forgive for our own selves to protect us from the one who offended us. That word in the original language means to release someone from the bondage or prison of what they have done. And then you also will be released from the bondage or the prison of what they have done. What an amazing resource in the kingdom warfare. Forgive them. What did Jesus say? Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they are doing. Why was he saying that? Because he was protecting his heart, he was protecting his mind, and he was loving them simultaneously. Forgive them. He's opening their capacity while protecting his own. Forgive them. In Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You absolutely can afford to love. You absolutely can afford to forgive. You absolutely can afford to be merciful. You absolutely can afford to be kind. You absolutely can afford not to think evil. You absolutely can afford to not speak evil. And you absolutely can afford not to utilize natural resources in things like getting your way or manipulating people or protecting yourself or any number of things. You absolutely can afford it. Why? Because my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory. His riches. He is rich. Do you understand? God is rich. And he doesn't have any problem with sharing his riches with you. All the promises in 2 Corinthians 1:20 of God in him are yes and in him are amen. To the glory of God through us. He's not a man that he should lie in Numbers 23:19 or that he should change his mind. And so you come to a place of uncertainty, you come to a place where you just don't know and you perhaps feel kind of stupid. Well, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. And he directs your path, but whatever you do, do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. This is where you enter wrong resources. You do not be wise in your own eyes, but rather you acknowledge him in all your ways. And now you've gone to the right resources and they will have the right outcome. In Hebrews 9:14, the blood of Christ will cleanse your conscience. Now, this is one of the most important things we need, to have our conscience, our consciousness cleansed by the blood of Christ. And it works in two directions. It works from us towards somebody else and then also toward us. A person fails and they have guilt, but they've repented of their failure and they still have guilt. You need the blood of Christ by faith to cleanse your conscience. Believe what the blood of Christ has done in 1 John 1:7, that it has removed all sin from your life. In Psalm 103:12, that it has removed it from time. It does not exist in the past. It's been removed from time. That is why in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. There never can be. But this is one that we don't think about. Somebody did something toward you and it wasn't right. Let the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience regarding what they did. Yes, it may have been wrong, but the blood of Christ removed it from time. And so by faith, you let that blood cleanse your conscience so that you can be delivered. This is where forgiveness comes from. It comes from the blood of Christ cleansing your conscience. You don't just say, oh, I forgive them and that's the end of that. No, you let the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience. That's the only way to forgive. Because what are you going to do if your conscience is not cleansed, your consciousness? This challenges people. Guilt is a human resource. Anger is a human resource. Grudge is a human resource. And human resources belong to the enemy. Now, somebody may say, I just can't get over it. You need to draw near to the love of God. You need to draw near to the Word of God. You can't just get over it. You need to draw near to the love of God. You need to draw near to the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not natural resources, but mighty in God for the pulling down of demonic strongholds. What the devil has done and the strength that he has taken, the places of strength that he has in people's lives. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against the doctrines of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Disciplined thinking in the Word of God is a major resource. Unfortunately, many people do not possess this, but they must possess it because we do live in a place of conflict. Right resources sustain us, but in order to use them, we have to get our thinking right with God. Natural thinking is a dreadfully destructive resource. But when through the Word of God and the love of God, I can keep my thinking right with Him, that's an incredible resource. It allows for so many of the other resources to be at my disposal. The blood of Christ, the mercy of God, grace, patience, the loving kindness of God. If I'm not thinking right, I can't turn to any of them. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. That means our lives are interconnected. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit of the Spirit. The only fruit there is the fruit of the Holy Spirit as far as God is concerned, Galatians 5:22 and 23. He who abides in me, well, God is love. A few verses down from there, it tells us that that means to abide in the love of God. He who abides in the love of God, and verse 7 tells us what the second part means. It's talking about the Word of God. He who abides in the love of God and the word of God abides in him, he bears much fruit. Why? Because he has much resource at his disposal. The resources that he has because he is living in the life of the vine are endless. They're exceptionally powerful because they have all the power of God. They're endless. They sustain, they will not fail, they can overcome absolutely anything, they can deliver me, including in my thought life. They are endless. And then he continues, for without me, you can do nothing. You have no resource if you do not have God's resource. You have something that you're leaning on, but it will fail you every time. Because the devil is not your friend. He is your enemy. You come boldly to the throne of grace. You have something going on. You come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't say to yourself, this is too small, this is too big, this is too scary, I feel too weak. Don't worry about any of that. You just come boldly to the throne of grace. And you will find God's resources, the right resources. And they will help you in whatever need you have at exactly the right time. Amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.